Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Are you kidding? You know, it's been, we got to do the math here. Help me out. It's been about, what, 18 hours or so?
That's about right.
Been about 18 hours, and it is still impossible to believe that one team can get that freaking hot from three. What an unbelievable three-point festival last night out in Cleveland at the Q, game two, Cavaliers over the Hawks, and it still doesn't make any sense. I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, you know, it's one thing if your team sets a record because, for example, Steph Curry goes out and breaks his own individual record and makes 12 threes. And you get, Clay hot, and he makes five, and there's 18. And then maybe you get a couple from somebody else. But for the Cavaliers to have, what was it, 10?
10 different guys.
Contributors to the now new NBA single-game record of 25 threes in a game. That's postseason or regular season. That's any time, let alone in playoff time, that they could have 10 contributors to that record, the way that they did. The only two guys active, I think, that did not have a three are Timofey Mozgov and Tristan Thompson. And if they had done that, I actually joked at halftime.
Actually, I think there were three. James Jones didn't connect on any of his threes.
Oh, well, so wait a minute. So they had 13? They had 13 guys active?
I know that.
Isn't that one too many?
I know they all play. I know they all.
Yeah, he sure did. You're exactly right. But that's kind of odd. They have an extra expanded roster during the playoffs or something. I'm just trying to figure. Now, if they had 10 guys who made threes and three didn't, that's 13. I thought they only had 12 on the.
That's what I thought. I'm looking at that again. I didn't even think of this last night. But there's three guys who didn't and 10 that did.
Right.
So for some reason they got to play 13 yesterday. I'd have to look at. I'll look into that because I didn't even notice that.
Let me just look at the box here real quick, and we'll just kind of run down this real fast here. The box score shows three. Let's see. I'll just give you all of them. James was 4 of 6 from three. Kevin Love was 3 of 4 from three. The percentages are also just what's ridiculous. Tristan, 0 for 0. He didn't try any. JR, 7 for 13. Kyrie, 4 for 5. Shump, 1 for 1. Jefferson, 2 for 2. Dully, 1 for 3. Fry, 1 for 3. Mozgov, 0 for 0. Mo Williams, 1 for 4. James Jones, 0 for 2. And Dante Jones. Oh, Dante Jones, and he, of course, set the one that broke it, was 1 for 2. So counting him, that's 14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Or is it 13?
No, it's 13.
It is 13. So two guys. No, wait a minute. Now I've got to count it all over again. Mozgov, Jones, and Thompson. Mozgov and Thompson, of course, didn't take one. Jones did. So 9 guys made. No, it was still 10. Yeah, 10 and 3. Okay. I don't know why it's so hard to figure out. I guess I was just thinking that there was a 12-man roster, and I'm trying to figure out how they got a 13th guy. 10 of them made shots and 3 of them didn't.
Yeah, and the only two guys that didn't dress were McCray and Cowan. That's 15 for the whole roster.
Right.
So, I'm surprised they let 13 play. I thought it was 12 myself. I learned something today.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, you know, it's weird. You don't think of it on game day, obviously. 8, 10, 12, 13, same thing for the Hawks, yeah. So it just must be the what you can do in the playoff. All right. Anyway, that is so not the part of the story that I want to focus on. That is so irrelevant. Obviously, the Cavaliers being red hot the way they were from beyond the arc last night, something that you know, and Jim, this is what I tweeted, and I got called a buzzkill. Now, mind you, I tweeted a picture of Oprah Winfrey, and I did it right from our Twitter feed, too, at Sports Radio 106.5. I tweeted a picture of Oprah Winfrey, the meme from you get a car, you get a car,
right,
everybody
yeah,
gets
that.
A car. And it's everybody gets a 3 because 10 different guys were part of that 3 party, right? So I'm pumping this whole thing up and enjoying it immensely. But then I tweet this last night during this game, which I just kind of like to do and engage with people and whatnot. Then I tweet, calling it now. This is in the fourth quarter. As the record is broken and all this stuff is gone, I tweeted in the fourth quarter, calling it now, Cavs shoot 34% as a team in game 3 and lose by 3. That's just how basketball is. And I got called a buzzkill by people. What do you know? And all I'm trying to say is when they had 18 threes in the first half, which was a record, they made 8 in the first quarter and 10 in the second quarter, correct? I think that's what the breakdown was.
Yeah.
They had set the record in the first half with 18. I thought there is no way in you know what that they're going to do anything like that in the second half. And to have them come out and make 7 more is just, especially with most of them, you know, being from bench players because the starters, you know, got plenty of rest. For example, LeBron played 28, Kevin Love played 26 minutes, Kyrie played 22 minutes, Jefferson, well, he's a bench player, that's the point.
We'll spin this the other way. Mo Williams was the point guard for the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah, he played the entire 12 minutes. That's exactly right. Channing Frye played 20, Jefferson played 24, Shump 18. Anyway, you get the point. So there's no way that they could in the second half, particularly with a 30-40-point lead, you know, they're going to keep doing this. And they did. And they stayed hot. And ultimately, their three-point shooting night was 25 for 45, or 55.6%, which is just not human. It's not normal. There's a reason why this has never happened before. So that's what I'm thinking to myself. And yet, it did happen. And then it occurred to me, and that's why I tweeted, Game 3, the Cavaliers will shoot 34% as a team and lose by 3. It's just how basketball goes, and my benchmark, my barometer for that is just 4 or 5 days ago. Look at what the San Antonio Spurs did to the Oklahoma City Thunder in Game 1 of the Western Conference semifinal series out there. They were 18 of 22 in the first quarter, and they didn't cool off much after that, and they beat them by 43. They beat a team the way... Quite frankly, you know, it'd have to be a Quentin Tarantino movie to really see somebody get beaten that bloody. That's what they did to the Thunder. And naturally, what happened when they came out for Game 2? The rules of the odds of basketball, the gods of basketball, perhaps, whatever it is you want to call it, things leveled out. Their offense was discombobulated. They weren't making shots other than LaMarcus Aldridge, who stayed red hot. But they weren't making making the same kind of shots, obviously. And bang, there you have it. Oklahoma City wins by one, and it's an even series going into game number three tonight at Oklahoma City. So I called it last night, and we'll see if I'm right. And by the way, I want to say this for the record. To any Cavaliers fan listening to the sound of my voice right now, throughout the entire greater Toledo area, or even back in Cleveland, if you're listening on our webpage, on our streaming audio, or via our app at 106.5 The Ticket, I want to make this clear. I hope I'm wrong, but I just had that sense last night watching that thing that we all know. I'm not being, I'm not breaking any new sports talk ground here with the old cliche about living by the three and dying by the three, but it struck me that they are living too high on the hog on this thing tonight, and they're going to die by the three because they're going to get in love with this, and then they're going to come out there, and it's not going to be there, and it's going to discombobulate their offense in game three the way the Spurs were discombobulated in game two, and they're going to lose game three. Now, I hope that's 100% wrong, but that's the feeling and the sense that I got last night as I watched them continue to rain threes out the sky all over the heads of an Atlanta Hawks team that had to be wondering, are you kidding me? How is this even possible? All right, I wasn't there. Matt Lodi was. So I said, Matt, you got to give us a feeling from inside the queue last night as the Cavaliers set a record, made NBA history for postseason and for regular season, an all-time record of 25 threes in the game. Matt Lodi, who covers Cleveland sports for the Associated Press and also for his website, neosportsinsiders.com. Matt Lodi, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Bob, good afternoon.
All right, you were there, and I know you kind of split time between Indians and Tigers over at Progressive Field. Another win, the Indians looking for their second straight sweep of the Tigers. You split time between there and the queue, but the only thing I really want to talk to you about right now is that three-point festival that the Cavaliers had. Can you describe what it was like in that arena? We had the benefit of TV graphics, knowing exactly how many they had and what the records were. Did the fans in the arena know? Were they putting it up on the big boards? Because that had to be just an amazing feeling for everybody in that building.
Yeah, and there was no question, Bob, that they knew what was going on, only because when they broke the record, the kind of exuberance on the sidelines. There were some videos that a couple people put out, some from the Cavaliers, some media, some just fans in general, that you could tell that they knew what was going on. And they obviously were informed, and people were kind of all keyed in. Once the Cavaliers started this whole, reign of threes, if you will, or whatever you want to refer to it as, it kind of became obvious that they were going to break this record, especially after even the first quarter. And when they went on that big run, I think it was at 1.11-0 or something like that, and just kind of took the game over from that point, and J.R. Smith really got going. You could tell that they were gonna be just fine as far as the game was concerned, but not only that, but they were gonna start looking at some records. And I think that it really meant a lot to them. I don't know necessarily why, per se. To me, I think it's all about winning a championship, and I could not be more in agreement with you on my concern that last night is long-term possibly going to be an issue, because I do believe in my heart that this team, once they start doing things a certain way, it's hard for them to break that habit. And I really hope when they get down to Atlanta tomorrow night, they don't start falling into the mode of, no matter what happens, we're going to fire up 45, 50 threes in a game. I hope that they realize that could, lead to big issues. And hopefully for them, they take last night for what it was. It was an incredible night. It may never be duplicated again, or at least in a very, very long time. And they go back to playing basketball the way that they kind of normally play. And I know that does involve a lot of three-pointers. Let's put it this way. They are still in a mode of shooting a lot of threes per game, if you look at their numbers throughout the regular season and even into the postseason this year. But last night was just, an aberration, if you will, with the amount of threes that they made.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously once they realized that they couldn't miss and that everybody was hot, it wasn't just JR, that everybody was on fire like that. Obviously, it started to take on a life of its own, and you could see they were looking for it. Normally, that basketball team, as you say, it is a part of their game, no question about it, especially with JR and Kyrie, who are two of the elite three-point shooters in this league. Kyrie has won a three-point shootout. JR should have been in this year's and might have won that three-point shootout, one of the highest percentages in the league, but it's part of their game. Last night they made it their game. This is the challenge of Ty Lue, who and I read a column today, another one of your colleagues who wrote about this, that this is exactly what Ty Lue told them. If you have an open shot and it's your shot, no matter where it is, take it. He wants his guys to be aggressive, particularly because I think he wants defenses, not just the Atlanta Hawks defense, but the Miami Heat's defense and or the Toronto Raptors defense, and of course looking ahead to the Western champion, to see how many different threats that they are going to have to try to account for, and not just LeBron James.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And, I mean, again, last night, if you look at the way that J.R. Smith was able to get going early, and again, it's pretty phenomenal, the fact that, you know, he ended up with eight of those three-pointers. And, you know, again, Bob, I just wonder, though, long-term about this offense, because there's going to be a night, you and I both know it, whether it's in these playoffs, in this series or in the next series, or when they eventually end up playing Golden State or San Antonio, that they're going to be cold. And, you know, we kind of saw it last year a little bit in the NBA Finals. There was a game or two where J.R. Smith kind of disappeared. And that's got to be a concern. And I know that right now the life is good and they're going to go to Atlanta. And I think they're going to sweep. I really do. I think Atlanta is so demoralized. You could not believe the look on those players' faces and the coaches' faces, even the media's faces from Atlanta last night, the way that they just sort of look like a defeated bunch in that arena. And the fact that, I mean, really, there's what could you do about it? There was nothing you really could do about it if you were Atlanta. You could have played a perfect game last night and probably still lost by 15 because of the way the Cavaliers were shooting. But, again, I hope that this team understands that, you know, there's going to be nights when the perimeter is going to be, you know, heavily guarded, per se, and especially when you get up to those two West Coast teams, either San Antonio or Golden State. The Cavaliers might not be able to do exactly what you said Ty Lue wants them to do, which is shoot the ball whenever they're open, and hopefully that they understand that there's going to be nights where they're going to have to play some inside basketball. Guys like Mozgov and Tristan Thompson and company, those guys have basically just disappeared here over the course of the first six games of the postseason.
Yeah, and just to throw this up there for you, since we were talking about how the three-pointer, it wasn't just last night, it is a part of their offense. The Cavaliers shattered the all-time six-game three-point record in the playoffs by 27. The previous record for most threes in any six-game span for any team was 70. The Cavaliers now have 97 in their six playoff games this season, and that's despite this postseason. That's despite LeBron going 2-for-15 in three of those six games from distance. That is just an amazing statistic when you think about it. So they're not going to be shy. The question is will they know when to shut it down? Shut the spigot off, if you will, when it comes to, you know, the threes raining out of the sky, if they're just not dropping. Even if they're just rimming out and they're just not there. We all know, we've all seen it, we've all experienced it, we've all watched high school kids who are great shooters just not dropping that night. Will they then go back to the traditional, let's pound it down, let's get Kevin on the block, let's get LeBron driving the lane, let's get Tristan crashing the glass and getting easy putbacks and play a two-point game? That is the key. So let's ask this question next, Matt Lodi. Obviously, you heard it. Everybody heard it. The entire sports nation heard it and has been talking about it today.
I got a bet, Ernie.
Why?
A bet. Are we going straight to the show?
We are. In the course of doing that, yeah. But what's your vent?
The Atlanta Hawks got to take somebody out, Ernie. Let me tell you something.
When you say take them out, what do you mean?
I mean
touch them up or take them out?
Take them out.
Oh man, you can't say that on national TV.
Yes,
just
I
say,
can.
Just say touch them.
No, you can't. No.
You can't hurt nobody, Chuck.
You're not trying to hurt them.
But take them out, man.
No,
hurt
them. No, you're not trying to. You got to take somebody out.
You got to take somebody out. Shaq said, you can't say that. You can't do that. I don't mean hurt him, but you got to take him out. He's taken a lot of heat. He took some heat from Charles Oakley, one of the all-time NBA tough men, on Twitter last night over that. Your reaction to Charles Barkley telling the Hawks they should have been taking Cavs out?
Yeah, I mean, I heard it, and I heard it obviously right away on Twitter last night. And, you know, Bob, I got to be honest. I'm not that, like, blown away by it. Because let's just be honest, this is Charles Barkley. This isn't Mark Price saying this. This is a guy who has over the years been known for his outlandishness, been known for his comments. And, you know, he's got, I don't want to say he's got a point, but his point, in my opinion anyway, was come out and make a statement in game three. Now, again, his verbiage of saying take somebody out, I think, is ridiculous because, as Shaq said, and I, you know, Shaq, you know, he's been known to make some comments too. I think Shaq was right by saying you can't necessarily say that because you're basically implying that you're going to come out and elbow LeBron in the face or, you know, take out Kevin Love by the knees or something like that. But I hope what Charles was trying to convey was more or less of a thought of taking somebody out by saying, hey, we're not going to allow you. If somebody goes in, if they start getting on fire as they did last night, you know, maybe committing a hard foul, a bit of a hard foul, not again to hurt anybody, but maybe to send a message, per se, a physical basketball. And the whole thing with him and Oakley, obviously there's been bad blood there over the years. That was well documented. I saw that also on Twitter last night that those two, there was a video that I saw somebody post from YouTube that those two just don't get along. I hope, Bob, that Barkley's got the best of intentions with a statement like that. When I say best of intentions, I mean like what he truly meant to say was more or less, don't allow the game to get away with you, away from you. And if you've got to commit a hard foul, commit a hard foul. If he's intentionally saying go out and hurt somebody, then he's an idiot. And you know, again, we've known. You know, go ahead.
And I think I felt the same way. And people were going ballistic on Facebook when I was posting those pictures of Oprah. And people underneath are going, Charles Barkley should be fired. He's calling for somebody to be taken out after what happened to Kevin Love last year. Does he want somebody to hurt the Cavs? You know, he's always hated Cleveland. He's always hated the Cavaliers. He should be fired for advocating somebody commit violence on the basketball court.
Well,
my take was very similar. Hold on a second. My take was very similar. The dude is using language like that, but what he is trying to say is you got to knock somebody on the ground.
Yeah,
you got it. You got a bunch of guys flying around through the key from one wing to the other or down the baseline from one corner to the other, just gallivanting through, spotting up and draining threes like they're free. And somebody needs to send a message that says no more of that crap, even as Charles Barkley said, even if it's for a message being sent about game three. We're not just going to let you do this. And my analogy, as I put on Facebook last night, was to Kobe when he scored 81 against the Raptors.
Right.
To this day, the Raptors' defense has not lived down, nor will they ever live down. That they let Kobe skip to the loo, my darling, through their key, getting runners, getting layups, shooting threes, and never once got knocked to the ground to make him uncomfortable and to take him out of his rhythm, which is precisely what I think Charles Barkley was trying to say. Take them out means take them out of their rhythm, excuse me. Get physical on them, body up on them, knock them down. Not knock them out with an injury, but knock them to the floor hard so that they realize this is not acceptable.
Well, and again, Barkley has never been, as we all know, he's never been a Cleveland guy. He's never been a LeBron guy. So why people are so incensed about the statement is almost mind-boggling just because of, you know, if he was for the last 15 years talking about how great the Cavs were, how great LeBron was and all that other stuff, and then all of a sudden last night for the first time said take him out, I would guess I would understand it a little more. But, Bob, you and I know the history. You know how Barkley is treated in Cleveland. You know how he's always kind of been against the city, per se. He had some legendary playoff series back in the 90s against the Prices and the Dohertys and everything like that. I didn't hear that statement last night and immediately write a column on it or immediately react like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he would say that. I was just more like, hey, it's vintage Charles. And, you know, it's entertaining.
Yeah, but you know what, Matt? Let me jump in. Here's the thing, though. I don't even think it has anything to do with his history with the Cavaliers or Cleveland. I think he was just being the basketball guy that he is. And that if this had happened between, you know, I don't care, the Spurs and the Thunder or something, if this had happened where one team was just running that free without any fear whatsoever and jacking up threes and chasing records and embarrassing somebody, he would have said somebody's got to be knocked down on that team. I don't think it had anything to do with animus to Cleveland or anything else.
My point, though, is that, you know, we're in this, you know, being in this market and having been here my whole life, you know the perception, and you know the fact that, you know, Cleveland fans immediately take the defensive when their team gets bashed or when somebody is you know, saying bad things about the team.
I get that. But you know what? This wasn't just a Cleveland perception. Right. This was national. I mean, it was on Mike and Mike. Every talk show nationally and columnist and blogger and sports person is talking about this, or either with columns or blogs or right. social media comments. And it's just amazing to me how many people were just so beside themselves with anger at Barkley over this. And, you know, here's the other thing that I alluded it to, or I compared it to, I guess I should say, Matt. You know, when I say what he means is that these guys are far too comfortable standing there and just stroking threes. You better make them uncomfortable in the same way that a pitcher is going to throw one high and tight when somebody has jacked two bombs off of them, or God forbid, three in a game. Somebody's getting knocked down, so they're not standing so comfortably in the box. That's what Charles Barkley was saying. Somebody needs some chin music here, because you can't stand there that comfortably launching these threes against us and embarrassing us like this.
Well, and again, I go back to the personality who said it, too. It wasn't like it was, you know, Ernie Johnson who said it, or even Shaquille O'Neal, who, even though he, you know, had his moments of physical play in his time, this is a guy who's a personality. This is a guy who more or less the NBA hired because of his outlandish comments. And I was going to point back to many, many moons ago when a guy by the name of Lyle Alzado came out before the Super Bowl back in 84 and said he was going to kill Joe Theismann. You know, I mean, he didn't mean he was going to kill him. He just means he was going to hurt him or hit him hard or whatever you want to say. So, you know, characters make comments like that. I don't know why this is such a stunning revelation and a big surprise. I think, as I said earlier, too, and you agreed, I don't think he meant to go out and take LeBron James and tear his Achilles. I think it was just a statement of saying, make them pay if they're going to shoot a three, foul somebody early on in the game, get their, basically, Bob, here it is, get their attention. Because the Cavaliers have been bored for the last six games, in my opinion. They really haven't had, I mean, there was a moment of despair early on in game one when the Pistons shot the heck out of the ball. But really, since that moment, Bob, I've never felt the Cavaliers were going to lose any of these games. I just have felt like they've been on cruise control, and if anybody's going to make the Cavaliers work, I guess Charles is saying, hey, might as well be Atlanta. At least go out there and put some effort forth and, you know, try to do something to get these guys out of their game because, you know, obviously right now they look by far, like the best team in the Eastern Conference. And you know, I know everybody still thinks Miami and Toronto are going to have this great series, and one of them is going to, you know, surprise the Cavs. I just don't see it. I don't see how either of those teams, and I know it's going to be, I'm not saying it's going to be a cupcake walk like it was last year with Atlanta in the finals of the Eastern Conference, but I still think the Cavaliers are way, way better than both Toronto and Miami, and I still think if it gets to six games of either of those two teams, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, good stuff, Matt. We certainly appreciate it. It was an amazing time. We just tweeted, by the way, tweeted out all 25 three-pointers courtesy of your website, which is at NEO Sports Inside. It is NEOSportsInsiders.com. I'm sorry, your Twitter handle is NEO Sports Inside.
Yep.
So we just tweeted that out. Matt, thanks for the analysis. It seemed like it was a fun time in that arena last night. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Anytime, Bob. Thank
you so
much.
Have a good one. All right, we're going to take a timeout now. And by the way, don't forget to find that on our Twitter feed. Follow us there at Sports Radio 1065, Sports Radio 1065. Follow us there and also on our Facebook page, which is 1065 The Ticket. And there's a video of all 25 threes, bang, 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 25 times from last night at the Q. What do you take? Or what do you make, I should say, of Charles Barkley's comments? Shaq immediately jumped him and said, man, you can't say that. And Barkley spent a deal of time later on walking it back a little bit, but still trying to make his point. I understood him from the get-go, from Jump Street. I know he didn't mean take somebody out by injuring somebody. He meant the same thing, like I said, that a pitcher would do when somebody is jacking balls off of him and he's giving up three or four home runs. These guys are way too comfortable in the box. I'm coming high and tight. I'm going to make you dance in there a little bit because it's the only way to stop you from being so comfortable as you drill me and embarrass me. That's sports. That's just being physical and hard. It is not talking about injuring anybody. So that's my take. You got Matt Lodi's take. We'll hear Cushions in a while, too. And also, coming up here in just a few minutes, we're going to go down to the ATL. We're going to talk to Brandon Leak from 680 The Fan, which is the Hawks radio network down there, and see how they're feeling after the thunder shower as it poured buckets of threes all over the Hawks' heads last night up in Cleveland. Game 3 is tomorrow night in Atlanta. So we'll visit Atlanta next right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Now back to the Bob France Extravaganza, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
It is indeed as we roll onward. It's 3:41. Thanks so much for being with us right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Still talking about the Cavaliers. A huge performance last night. Their historic performance. To be quite frank about it, no one has ever had that kind of a shooting game in the history of this league. And it's not just the number, but it's the percentage as well. 25 threes on 45 attempts. That's 56% if you're scoring at home. That's not bad. Cavaliers just absolutely could not miss. And the unfortunate victims of this were the Atlanta Hawks. Now, the question is, did the victims do enough to stop their own embarrassment? Charles Barkley says no.
The Atlanta Hawks got to take somebody out, Ernie. Let me tell you something.
When you say take them out, what do you mean?
I mean,
touch them up or take them out?
Take them out.
Take them out, he said. He clarified. Shaquille O'Neal tried to correct him and say, bro, you can't say that. You can't advocate hurting somebody. And Barkley said, I'm not saying hurt, but you got to take somebody out.
Man, you can't say that on national TV.
Yes,
just
I
say,
can.
Just say touch them.
No, you can't. No.
Can't hurt nobody, Chuck.
You're not trying to hurt him.
Well, take him out, man. Hurt him.
You're not trying to. You got to take somebody out.
Did the Atlanta Hawks let the Cavaliers just leap through the tulips, if you will, or tiptoe through the tulips and gallivant through their defense without any physical challenge whatsoever? Let's try to talk about it with someone in Atlanta who can maybe try to explain what it feels like to have watched that from 680 The Fan, our fellow Cumulus station down in the ATL, broadcasting the Hawks. Brandon Leak joining us right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Hey, Brandon, how are you?
Good afternoon. How you doing today?
We're good, man. Hey, thanks for answering the bell. We've been trying to talk to somebody for the last couple of days down there at 680 The Fan and talk. We were going to get a preview yesterday, but I'm kind of glad it worked out the way it did today so we can kind of see what the feeling is down there after watching the sky open up and threes raining out of it all night long on the Hawks.
Yeah, it was a tale of two cities. If you are a Cleveland Cavalier fan, it was thine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the three. And if you're a Hawks fan, it was a nightmare at Quicken Loans Arena. It was unbelievable just to watch the shots that J.R. Smith was able to get down and how the cavalcade of threes just continued to rain. We talked about in Atlanta what Charles Barkley had to say, and certainly no one would advocate hurting anybody, especially one of the greatest players probably in the last 30 years of LeBron James. But there is something to what he was saying as far as not putting up any resistance. I mean, Iman Shumpert absolutely posterized Mike Muscala, and there was absolutely no resistance. LeBron James was driving to the bucket in the third quarter when the Cavaliers were up 30 points, and you would think there would be at least a hard foul or at least somebody to step up and say, this is enough of this, but there was no resistance. And I think that was the most eye-opening thing because the Atlanta Hawks, for all of their glory the last year and a half, they really have been prideful about their defense, particularly what they do in the second half, and it just did not show up at all last night in Cleveland.
Yeah, Brandon Leak is our guest with 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Talking about the Hawks and the loss last night to the Cavaliers, I understood exactly what Barkley meant. I really did. He wasn't advocating to injure someone, even though he reemphasized, take them out. But I would feel if the shoe had been on the other foot and my team was having something like this done to it, what I would have done, what I would have said, I guess I mean, is I want somebody to do exactly what Barkley said. You've got to, when one of these guys is running from one wing to the other by way of the baseline, somebody's got to step over there and become a wall and make them run into it and get knocked down. Or I want my guards to guard that arc so tight that they can't shoot another three and they got to come to the basket so I can knock somebody down. Just as Barkley said, to send a message that, yeah, you got us. We can't beat you this game, but if you think this is going to come free, especially when we get to game three, you got another thought coming. I think that's what he was trying to say.
Brother, we see eye to eye. I'm almost weeping at what you're saying. You're absolutely right. I just couldn't believe if Dennis Schroeder or Jeff Teague continue to drive to the basket. And Jeff Teague got a few words with Kyrie Irving in game one, talking about not this time or not this year. If the Hawks are up 36 and one of those guys is still driving to the basket and, you know, going for a record where it was put up in Quicken Loans Arena where everybody knew what the number of threes needed to be for the Cavaliers to get into the history books. I can't believe that Tristan Thompson wouldn't send a message or any one of those great defensive players wouldn't send a message. So, you know, certainly you don't goon it up and try to hurt NBA players and not take care of your brethren. But you do have to play with some pride and some passion defensively. And when you know a team, look at that fourth quarter. When the starters sat on the bench, I mean, the Cavaliers put up 11 three-pointers in the fourth quarter when they were still up by 20-plus points. You know, you have to do a better job of guarding the three-point line. Even if you have to foul and make guys go to the free-throw line, you don't stand there and allow somebody to make you a mockery and certainly put you in the history books in front of the nation where everybody on the Cavaliers bench was laughing. So hopefully things will change for Hawks fans and for the Hawks tomorrow night at Phillips Arena. But certainly LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, they sent a message that they aren't messing around, and they are a team that has to be guarded closely at the three-point line.
And, you know, Brandon, when I look at it and I think of changes that the Hawks got to make, that this is the thing that I keep thinking of. A lot in these first two games, and I've been kind of seeing it at times, though, as that game went on last night, I saw certainly a lot less of it. And that's it seemed like defensively, these first couple games, they've been daring the Cavs to go out there and shoot those three. What we're not going to do is let you come in here in the middle of the paint and do your dirty work there. You're going to have to do it from the outside. And again, even though later on as that game evolved last night, they stopped doing that too. But it feels like from an Atlanta perspective, it's a pick your poison. Do you want LeBron in the paint getting those layups and ones all day, or do you want him and the crew to try to shoot from outside? It feels like a pick your poison. But obviously, as we all know, I think from an Atlanta perspective, if you're gonna have any chance in this, something big's got to change.
Well, you pick a different poison, and I think some of that goes to Coach Budenholzer, and we'll see what his strategy is, but certainly LeBron James going to the paint for two is better than everybody else raining down 25 three-pointers when you don't have a chance. There was no chance for your Hack-a-Thompson strategy where you send Tristan Thompson, a poor free-throw shooter, to the free-throw line, and you take the three-ball away from Kyrie Irving. You take the three-ball away from LeBron James. You take the three-ball away from Kevin Love. There was no opportunity for that. So when you talk about adjustments, you know, I'd rather live with LeBron James going to the free throw line where you foul him and maybe he misses one or he goes to the bucket for two, as opposed to letting a team that's averaging 14 three-pointers a game get wide open looks. I mean, everybody talks about the great shooting of the Golden State Warriors. You look at what the Cleveland Cavaliers have done really the last month and a half of the regular season in the playoffs. They are equally as lethal. So you can't allow a team to play to its strengths while you are scrimmaging or rummaging to try to find out how you're going to play offensively yourself. There have to be adjustments made, and hopefully the Atlanta Hawks will put up a better fight so we just have a better competitive game tomorrow night in Atlanta.
Brandon Leek is our guest. He is with 680 The Fan, our sister station in Atlanta, covering the Hawks, obviously. I want to go back to the Barkley thing for a second, but kind of just in the course of, should the Hawks have been as angry as Charles was that the Cavs were trying to break that record by shooting 14 threes or however many it was in the fourth quarter up by 30? And I want to read a couple of quotes to you. Paul Millsap said, "It's a certain way of being a professional. I'm not mad. But just being professionals, man, if that's how you want to approach it, that's how you approach it. I think our team and our organization has class, and I don't think we would have continued to do that. But the other organizations do other things, so what can you do about it?" Al Horford said, "We probably wouldn't do anything like that. It's hard to say, but I would say no." And then Kent Bazemore said, "What goes around comes around." He said, "I'm a firm believer in karma. Maybe we'll be the team to break that record soon. Everyone knows how they play. They get out in front and are a totally different team. It is what it is. We'll see them again." So you got a few guys at least expressing, we didn't really appreciate that you're chasing this record while already up 30, even though it's with your backups, that you're chasing this record to embarrass us and launching this many threes. So they were a little upset based on those comments. What about you, Brandon? Did you find it disrespectful to the game that they were chasing that record so blatantly in the fourth quarter?
No, I'm old school. I'm not the guy that says call off the dogs if you up four touchdowns in football. It's one team's job to score points and to put on a show for their home fans. It's the other team's job to compete and to make the home fans be quiet. And the Atlanta Hawks didn't do anything to resist what the Cleveland Cavs were doing. You know, a couple of years ago when Kyle Korver was setting the NBA record for most three-pointers, consecutive three-pointers made, I'm sure that every team in the NBA wanted to stop him. You don't complain about it. You get out and you play some D on the guy. So while I respect all of those guys, and all of those guys are really good guys and not whiners per se, I don't agree with that. you basically got your backside handed to you in a historic way. You have to tip your cap to the Cleveland Cavaliers for just being absolutely on fire, and you move on to the next game. But to complain that a team that knew that they were 1 3-pointer away from the record book, something that has never been seen in the history of the NBA, and you don't think they're going to get it, what kind of competitor wouldn't want that record? I think you saw a team full of competitors for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and now we need to see a team full of competitors for the Hawks. They want to make sure that they have basketball past Sunday in Atlanta.
And you know, Brandon, too, you know, being competitors, that's the interesting thing I'm also looking for, you know, out of the Atlanta Hawks, because after the conference finals a year ago, the three regular season games this season, and the two games in this series so far, with obviously more to come, I'm almost starting to wonder, is some of this in the Hawks, is there any chance that any of this is possibly in the Hawks' head too? Because as that game was going on, as we all noted, the facial expressions and things like that were just, had the demoralizing look. And given the recent past track record of these two teams, I'm wondering if stuff like this is starting to get into their heads.
Well, look, the Cavaliers have hammered the Hawks. When you look at the number of 30-point quarters, and, you know, there probably would have been another had the starters not sat in the fourth, but the consecutive streak of 30-plus point quarters that the Cavaliers are continuing to put up, the number of consecutive victories that the Cavaliers are now rolling on the Hawks, yes, it has to play in their heads. It has to be a situation where, you know, when things go a certain way, if you don't make a run, LeBron James and Kyrie Irving are going to smell blood. Certainly it's got to be a part of that. But that being said, you're talking about a team that won 60 games last year. They're the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference this year. This is not a young team. They are a veteran latent team when you talk about the core pieces of the Atlanta Hawks. And a lot of these guys have logged a lot of playoff minutes and have logged a lot of playoff victories for the Hawks. So, you know, look, the bottom line is it's a bad matchup for the Hawks. And you just have to play with some pride. You have to knock down your shots. You have to move the ball. And Jeff Teague and Dennis Schroeder have to find ways to get to the rack. And last night, they weren't able to turn the corner after the first quarter and get inside the paint. And the threes came down. So it is one game. It is one loss, and you move on. You know, you can look at it on one hand and say, look, the home team held serve. Now you need to win some of your home games. But if you don't come out, and if you don't think LeBron James thinks that this is the most important game in this series, you're crazy, and you better be on your best gay game, because LeBron James wants to be up three games to none like nobody's business.
Bottom line then, Brandon, Brandon Leak is our guest from 680 The Fan down in Atlanta. Is there basketball for Atlanta after Sunday, or is this over in four?
Based on what I saw last night, I think it's a sweep, and it's unfortunate, because there are a lot of questions that the Hawks will have to answer if it is a sweep. Al Horford is an unrestricted free agent. Kent Bazemore is an unrestricted free agent. Paul Millsap will be 32 years old. Kyle Korver will be 36 years old next year. There are a lot of questions if there is a sweep, and I just don't know, with the rate that the Cleveland Cavaliers are knocking down three-pointers, the way Kyrie Irving can get into the paint if he wants to, and the way he's shooting from the elbow, plus a guy named LeBron James who's averaging more than 30 points a game against the Atlanta Hawks, and Tristan Thompson averaging a double-double against the Atlanta Hawks, I just don't think the Hawks get past Mother's Day, and I think they're going to have a lot of questions and decisions to figure out over the offseason.
Yeah, the only reason I would think otherwise, and I tweeted this last night in the fourth quarter, I said, I'm calling it now. Cavaliers shoot 34% as a team in game three and lose by three just because basketball. And if you look at when the Spurs did, the way they shot the ball in game one against the Thunder and won by 43, you knew it. You just knew it. They were going to lose game two, and sure enough, they did. It's just basketball. You don't get that hot and stay that hot. Something comes back to bite you, usually pretty quickly in this league.
The problem, though, is you had a team last night that shot better than 55% from the floor. Certainly it was a historic and most memorable of nights. That being said, they shot 55% from behind the arc, and they missed 8 3-pointers in the fourth quarter. They are getting good shots. It's not like they were lucking into these threes, or guys were tripping and stumbling off of screens. They are moving the basketball. Their assist numbers are high. Their turnover numbers are low. And unless the Atlanta Hawks stop turning the ball over and get to the free throw line, I just don't see how they don't get swept. And even if they do win one game, that means you have a game five in Cleveland where the Cavaliers might be up 3-1. And what does that mean if you go back to Cleveland after playing two games in Atlanta? It's just, it's a bad matchup. They're bad numbers. And LeBron James is upset that he lost the finals because he didn't have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving last year, and he wants to prove to the world he can be an NBA champion with those guys.
And that was my last question for you as we get ready to wrap this up, by the way, and we appreciate your time. Brandon Leake from 680 The Fan right here on the Extravaganza. Bob France here, Jim Cushlin chiming in as well. And, Brandon, can this team, and obviously, you know, last night is an outlier. It's not going to be like that every night. If it is, then you could say there's your NBA champion. But based on what we have known, you know, about the Warriors, about the Spurs, and about the Thunder, which are the only three competitors, obviously, in the West, the Blazers are done. Can the Cavaliers win the NBA championship, or is the champion coming out of the West, as it always seems to do?
Well, anytime LeBron James is on the floor, you can win. You always have a chance to win. I think the challenge is if they face the Golden State Warriors. You know, the Warriors, they don't get enough credit defensively for what they do. They don't get enough credit for the games when they're down double digits and they come back and win them. And I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to the fact that they are still putting up 110, 113, 114 points with their MVP, Stephen Curry, a guy who scores 30 points out of the lineup. Certainly it will be a slugfest for the ages, particularly the way that the Cavs are knocking down threes as well, but if there is one team, the antidote that could stop the Cavaliers' run to the finals and to a championship, it would be the Golden State Warriors. But certainly, LeBron James, the way he has figured out this game, and now the weapons he has on the perimeter, Cleveland can finally, you know, get something that they've been looking for many decades and many generations if they keep passing the ball and not turning the ball over.
The Warriors are still your favorite, though. I mean, the favorite.
I would bet my mama's mortgage on the Warriors.
Okay, gotcha. Because when you say, you know, that maybe the Warriors could stop the Cavaliers, it almost makes it sound like the Cavaliers are the team to beat, and Golden State could stop them. But obviously, the defending champions are still.
Well, I have an addendum to that. If Stephen Curry plays, nobody knows what that ankle is going to be, and I'm sure folks in Cleveland aren't going to feel sorry for them or him if he isn't 100% with all the injuries the Cavaliers had to put up with last year. I mean, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Cavs fans had to deal with watching Steph take advantage of Dellavedova when Dwight fought his heart out when Kyrie wasn't there. So, yeah, no, nobody's going to cry for them if they're without the MVP. So that's exactly right. Cavs fans here in Northwest Ohio certainly are looking forward to an opportunity to get some revenge. And if they don't have their full complement, man, we know the feeling. Brandon, listen, great conversation. I appreciate you answering the bell. Like I said, we were looking for somebody to speak from the Hawks' perspective on this. Great stuff. I really enjoyed it. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do it again.
Sure. Call me anytime, guys. Love the folks up there in Ohio.
Will do. Thank you, man. Appreciate it, brother.
Take care.
Brandon Leake from 680 The Fan down in the ATL with his thoughts on things. I want to get your thoughts on things. Going to go back to the Barkley discussion, too, coming up here in a minute. Was it out of bounds? Some are calling for Barkley to be suspended by TNT for advocating violence against or advocating injuring one of the Cavaliers by the Hawks. Do you agree with that, or was his comment just misunderstood and misinterpreted and maybe a little intentionally so by a guy who likes to say controversial things? What are your thoughts on that? Hey, but before we take this time out for SportsCenter here at the top of the hour, I want to remind you about our sweet deal for the week. It's the Oak Shade Raceway located in Wauseon. They've got a full 2016 race schedule highlighted by two summer national dates, July 15 and 16, as well as four American Late Model Series events, and much more. $50 gift certificates to the raceway. We'll go on sale tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for just $25 while those supplies last. On the website at 1065theticket.com, or you can be caller 10 right now, and we'll give you a $50 gift certificate to Oakshade Raceway. 866-240-1065 is the number. Caller number 10 takes that $50 gift certificate. Good luck to you, and we'll be back after this.
It's Kyrie Irving, live for three. And LeBron the other way, one of two so far, finding Irving. Three is down. Just got screened by LeBron, who puts up a three. He hit his first three-point attempt in game one. He hits his first three-point attempt here in game two, and a quick seven for James. James, what a pass. Irving, Love three. Kevin Love has knocked down a couple triples. Smith three. Amon Shepard with five on quarters back in. Touch pass. Smith three. Oh! Every chamber is filled. Smith three over quarter.
Are you kidding me?
Here comes LeBron with a three. Fry three from LeBron. Screen by Shepard. Sidestep by Quarter. Outside Delavitt over three. Shepard driving, kicking. Jefferson with a triple.
There it is. Tied the record.
Kyrie is in a three from James. Number 13. Fry. Good ball movement. Open Irving three. 14 of them. With a screen to switch on defense. Smith with a three.
I mean, what do you do? Seriously, what do you do on that?
Smith, the fake, Korver flies by, another three. No! No! Will Favre, LeBron tees up a triple.
It continues.
Kyrie triple. 21. 21 three-point makes. Could this be the record breaker? It is. 22. Quarter in the books. Offered by Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie's three to break the record.
Shepard, three. 23. Outside, Dante Jones.
Did I call it?
There is the record.
Did I call that or what?
His three-point shot makes it 24. Mo Williams adds to it.
This is the Bob France Afternoon Extravaganza on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Hour number two of the extravaganza is underway right here on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket. We are Toledo's sports leader. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks also to Brandon Leak from the ATL. Brandon with 680 The Fan, our sister station down there that does Hawks radio. And it's good to have him. Good to have him up here. Of course, we brought you the game last night, courtesy of ESPN Radio, and looking forward to tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, game number three. It is in Atlanta this time. Will they be able to, they being the Hawks, shut down or slow down the red-hot Cavaliers? Only time will tell. One thing that Charles Barkley thinks they can do to slow down the red-hot Cavaliers is to take a shot at somebody. The question is, and we talked to Matt Lodi about this, Kush, you heard him.
Right.
And Matt said, you know, there's always been a little bit of enmity for between Charles Barkley and Cleveland. There have been some statements before, some other things that have happened. And so, you know, the fans are kind of a little overreactive, maybe a little bit. And also just the fact that Cleveland, the fans out there in Cleveland, have just a bit of an inferiority complex all the time anyway because of all the failures, this, that, and the other. And so they get really, really angry when somebody like takes a shot like that. Okay. But this isn't about just them. This is all over the country. Whether you're a Cavs fan in Cleveland, Ohio, or here in Toledo, or in Timbuktu, it doesn't matter. Everybody, not a Cavs fan, just NBA fans are saying, "Oh my God, Charles Barkley." Just type in "Barkley says take somebody out" in a search engine right now and watch all of the stories that come up about this. Some call for his suspension from TNT because he made a request, essentially, for somebody to take a cheap shot and injure a Cavalier. And Cavs fans are obviously a little bit nervous about potential injuries because of what they experienced last year with Kyrie and Love missing most of the playoffs and especially missing the finals. So I want to play what Charles Barkley said again, and then I want to give it a little bit more time as he tries to kind of walk it back a little bit and soft shoe this thing when he's taken to task by Shaq, by Kenny Smith, and to some extent by Ernie Johnson. And then I want your thoughts on this. 866-240-1065. 866-240-1065. I have given mine. I don't think Barkley meant anything more than it would be than he would mean in telling a pitcher who had given up three jacks that somebody needs to wear one. Somebody needs to be knocked down or drilled because the opponent is far too comfortable in the batter's box. And if you don't take one of them out by knocking them down, et cetera, or drilling them, then you're not even competing. And I think that's what Charles Barkley meant. Give somebody some chin music here or knock somebody to the ground. Somebody comes running from one wing to another to get a wide open three. Somebody's going to step over and provide a brick wall there and knock somebody down. You can't just let them be that comfortable running through your defense unobstructed. That's what Barkley meant. Now, I am a Cavaliers fan, have been my whole life. If anybody should be angry here, it should be a Cavaliers fan like me, and maybe you, and maybe you are, as you listen. Maybe you are. But I also, and I'm not a huge Charles Barkley fan. I was when he played for the 76ers, because I was a Dr. J fan when I was growing up in Barkley in the early 1990s, late 80s and early 90s as a Sixer. I mean, it translated over, right? So, but I'm not a big Barkley fan. I'm not a fan of his politics when he goes political. I'm not a fan of a lot of the outrageous stuff he says. I got no reason to defend him. But I'm being real and I'm being honest. I was last night the moment it happened, and now a little less than 24 hours later that I've had a chance to reflect on and read other people's opinions on it, I'm still calling BS on anybody who wants him suspended, and I'm still calling BS on anybody who thinks that Charles Barkley was advocating that somebody be injured. He's advocating for old-school physical basketball to make guys who are playing careless and fancy, footloose and fancy-free to make them tiptoe a little bit more. Instead of gallivanting and skipping through the park one day, down the middle of the Cavaliers' lane, and then getting a kick out to a wide-open guy, that somebody needs to wear one. Somebody needs to be knocked down. So let's give it a listen again, and then tell me whether you think I'm right, and that Barkley is being over-the-top criticized here, or you think I'm wrong, and he should be suspended, that Barkley really was out of bounds here. Give it a listen.
I got a
bit, Ernie. You can't give it a listen there because we got a little bit of a tech glitch to deal with, but let's see if we have it fixed. Here we go.
I got a vent, Ernie.
Why?
A vent. Are we going straight to the show?
We are in the course of doing that, yeah. But what's your vent?
The Atlanta Hawks got to take somebody out, Ernie. Let me tell you something.
When you say take them out, what do you mean?
I mean,
touch them up or take them out?
Take them out.
Oh, man, you can't say that on national TV.
Yes, I can.
Just say touch them.
No, you can't. No.
Can't hurt nobody, Chuck.
You're not trying to hurt him.
Take him out, man.
You're not trying to. You got to take somebody out.
So that was the tease. This was, you know, right after the game when they throw to the studio and say, you know, here's Ernie with Kenny and Charles and Shaq and back at the team. So they do a little tease, then they have a commercial break, and then they come back for the start of the show. That was all during the tease. And it got obviously pretty warm there as Kenny Smith is like, bro, do you realize what you're saying? And Shaq is like, man, you can't advocate hurting somebody. You just mean touch him up, right? Well, apparently there must have been some conversation after that tease or while they were in the break, because when they came back on the show, the conversation expanded a little bit, and Charles, probably admonished by someone else on the set or maybe even a TNT executive, kind of walked back, take him out a little bit to explain what he means, which I think basically underscores what I thought he was trying to say. Give this a listen.
Ernie, when a team is just embarrassing you, shooting threes, when the game is way over, just trying to set a record, you have to knock the hell out of them, Ernie. Not for this game, to set the tone for the next game. You just can't let...
Chris Humphries did it. He did it one time.
No, but you got to do it more, because they were just going for the record at some point, Shaq. Yeah. We were sitting there watching that game. Ernie,
if you put me in the position...
No.
To go for the record. Because
your lack
of defense that you played throughout
it wasn't 43 minutes.
It wasn't 43 minutes of lack of defense that you allowed me to get this. Now when I'm close to something historical, I can't go for it.
Ernie.
I'm going to pause this here just to kind of comment and say, I don't agree with them when they say it was a total lack of defense. Because some of those shots were contested, especially some of JR's. It's good. Kevin Harlan.
Yeah, Harlan with Reggie Miller.
You know, they pointed out sometimes, like, oh my God, I mean, you don't play defense any better than that. That should have been a miss. Somebody forced him into a rushed, hurried, contested three, but oh my God, bang, there's J.R. Smith anyway. So some of the defense was good, but the Cavaliers were just on fire as we continue.
Ernie. Listen, we just think different.
I'm just asking.
I'm just saying, if you keep shooting threes, I got to take you down one time really hard. Because you're at this
point. I agree with that, Chuck.
Come on, man.
See, now even Shaq is saying, okay, that I agree with. Take him down hard. Now, when you say I got to take somebody down really hard, and you say I agree with that, when somebody says I got to take somebody out, how are you not agreeing with that? Because they kind of mean the same thing. What he means is not blow somebody's knee out and ruin their career, take them out, not clothesline somebody and break their neck, but hard foul somebody and take them down because you can't let them just gallivant through the defense like that. And even Shaq says, yeah, I do agree with that.
I got to take you down one time really hard. Because you're at this point.
I agree with that, Chuck.
Come on, man. Listen, whether Americans think I'm right or wrong, I don't care. If
not take them out, though. You know, just touch them up a little.
You got to touch them up good, though. Yeah, to send them a
right,
message.
Okay. Oh, you're right.
Yeah. You got to do it, man.
Because they got touched take them out. Because take them out is a yes. Really, really,
very
really
broad.
Negative connotation.
Well, you never want anybody to get hurt. Like, in hockey, you send your goon out there. We don't have a goon, so we're going to send Shaq out there to take somebody. Touch him up. You got to touch him up. You can't keep shooting threes on me, Ernie. Yep. You're down 30. I took all my starters out the game, and you just.
He took his starters out.
But you said something. You said it in the green room. You said, these guys are wide open for Mozgov is wide open. They're just looking for threes.
Looking for threes.
And so you got to take them out. You agree or not?
All right, I'm going to pause that there again just to say this. I get that part of it. Mozgov is open, wide open underneath. They could easily just make an entry pass for a dunk, but they're continuing to jack threes. I can see that point. However, this is the NBA record. And these guys in their home arena are being told you're within reach of a record. And why not? And it's not like you got Kyrie out there chasing the record. It's not like you got JR still in chasing the record. You got Mo Williams. You got Dante Jones. You got James Jones. You got all of these guys out there, and you're saying, yeah, let's see if we can get it. Not to disrespect the Hawks, but how many times does an opportunity like this come up? I can't blame them for doing that. But what Charles' statement is, to me, it isn't so much about because they're chasing a record. I think it means, like he said, for game three. It's to say, look, y'all can't just come in here and punk us like this and prance around here running uncontested, setting back screens, making the extra pass, getting these wide open threes. We're going to put somebody down to say this isn't free. You're shooting threes right now like they're free, and they're not. It's going to cost you, and this is what it's going to cost you. That hard screen, bang. That run out where you really, you know, quote unquote, like these guys are talking about, touch somebody up hard, not to injure, but to make them feel it so that they know this ain't free. And I don't normally use ain't on the radio, but bear with me. You understand the point. I'm an English major, man. I always speak properly, and that always, it's always, but I have to explain it. But anyway, you get the point. This isn't free. And guess what? In game three, I want you to remember how that felt. That shot helped. That I agree 100% with Charles Barkley.
I don't agree that you take him out. I don't agree. Only because for 44 minutes, you didn't play any defense and allowed them to have something in store. It's like a guy having 48 points. And he's like, yo. You allow me to get 48, and
no,
now that I'm
same.
Going for 50.
That's not the same.
This is actually better because they did something that no one in the history of the game has done.
But they were trying to do it.
Of course they were.
If records happen in the flow of the game, that's different. But, like, when you got, first of all.
That's where I disagree with Charles. You know what? It is the flow of the game. As long as the game is on and you're not rubbing it in by keeping your starters in. And these are backups doing this, and you can't even stop the backups from draining threes? That's on you. That's a you problem, not a me problem. So I disagree with him on that.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about.
But like, when you got, first of all, if it was a close game, that's totally different also. When you got a 30, 40-point lead, and you saying, hey, guys, let's just tour with these guys. Let's don't take layups. Let's just go for threes. That's disrespectful. And the reason I would have did it, I've got to set the tone for the next game.
And that last part shall be the ending comment that I'll play for you, because that's exactly the point that I think he was making from the get-go. All of the extra explanations, and no, I don't mean injure somebody, but when I say take him out of this, it comes down to that, to say, look, you guys just danced all over us for an entire 48 minutes, and that ends right now and when we get to game three. Let's go to phones, Jim. And by the way, congratulations to Eric Ackerman of Fremont. He won that sweet deal. I got more free stuff for you coming up here in just a couple, by the way. But let's go to Jerome in Toledo. He's got thoughts on Charles Barkley. Is he out of bounds, Jerome? Does he need to be suspended for all that? Or do you kind of follow where I'm coming from here?
Listen, here's the one thing that I want people to understand. Charles Barkley played in the NBA for years, and I don't think Charles Barkley deliberately wants to take someone's livelihood and lay them up and put them out of the game.
Agreed.
I'm saying what Charles is saying. When Dr. J and Michael and Michael came in there, the Bad Boys and other teams told them, you are not going to make a living swooping and gliding and slam dunking and 360ing on us. We're going to put you down.
Exactly.
We're going to put you down. It's not happening. This is people's jobs. They have jobs out there. You need to protect your job. I will not let – I drive a truck. I will not let anyone outdrive me, out-hour me to take my job. It's what I do. If the Atlanta
If somebody is doing that, are you going to run them off the road, off a bridge?
I'm not going to run them off the road. I'm going to work harder.
I know.
I'm going to work harder. Here's the whole thing again. The Atlanta Hawks sit down and they let them do this to us. When you put the third string in, they want their names in the box scores too.
You know, I've always said the same thing. You know,
I've
been making a baseball analogy with a pitcher throwing some chin music to make somebody uncomfortable, and they're just standing in there swinging on you. But now here's a football analogy. I've always said the same thing. Nobody can accuse a coach of trying to run up the score when the third string tailback is running for an 80-yard touchdown. That kid has worked just as hard as everybody else, and here's his one chance to play in a blowout. What do you want him to do? Take a knee? You're so correct on that. You can't put the backups in, the guys that are in the 11th, 12th, and 13th spots on
your
bench, and expect them to not play the game and to not try to get their part of this record. That is exactly
right. If you hit a home run off of Bob Gibson, I guarantee you, you're going to be on your back when you come back up in there the next time.
There it is. That's what we're talking about.
Now,
and you know what, Jerome? If you hit a home run off of anybody, even today, especially if you do two of them, you get two in a game, and you're standing in there just taking big, giant swings, you're so comfortable, it's the pitcher's job to, quote, take you out, meaning knock you down, hit one in your ribs, do something to make sure the next time you come up, you're not comfortable in that box, you're dancing, and you're ready to bail because you don't know if you're going to get hit again. That's the defense's job in basketball.
Here's another small analogy, might be the same, might not be. Ohio State football. Trestle was a great coach, but Trestle just wanted to, let's just score 13 points and let's put the defense in. We don't care what the other team's going to do to us. Urban Meyer says, I'm going to score 80, and if you don't like me scoring 80 when I put the third string in, they want their names, they want some yards, then you better stop me. And the way to stop someone is put them down. I didn't say hurt them. I said put them down, and you have to put them down. If not, I would never respect the Atlanta Hawks as a team or as individuals. When they come down there, I'm not saying fisticuffs, but it's got to get physical in Atlanta. You cannot let LeBron and the Cavaliers or any other team run amok and bamboozle you and think that it's all right.
That is exactly how I feel about it, brother. Jerome, thank you, my man, for the call.
Yes, sir. Have a great one.
Good conversation. Let's move on. Let's stay in Toledo, though, and Tony is up next on ESPN 106.5. The Ticket, see what he thinks about this. Charles Barkley, right or wrong, is he out of bounds, or is what he said okay?
No, he's 100% okay. And the problem is that even if the Atlanta Hawks wanted to put somebody down, they couldn't, because if you watch the game, their defense was scrambling the whole time. This is a testament to the Cavaliers on offense. The extra passes, the driving kick, shoot the ball because you're wide open, because Atlanta can't keep up. Unprepared to play, and the Cavs took advantage, absolutely buried them. You don't like it, you got to stop it. But you can't touch somebody up if you can't find them on the court.
Well, the two things I would say about that, though. If you watch the Cavaliers' offense, it's not like they're all just standing on the arc. They are crossing. If they're running baseline from one corner to the other, they're coming across the key from one wing to the other. If you wanted to, not while they're taking the shot, but if you wanted to do what Barkley is talking about, you catch them when they're en route from one place to another to spot up and get their next three look, and you knock them down, you know, with a body block, that kind of a thing. And the second thing is, and I heard, I can't remember who it was, I heard earlier today talking about this too, the other thing you do is you take your biggest, baddest, nastiest guy and put him in the middle of the key, and you take your other four guys and you space them around the arc. And that's it. You just guard the arc to the point where you're not shooting this three, and I'm going to make you drive by me. And when you drive by me, I'm like, I got my big nasty in the middle there, and he's going to make sure you feel it. You're not going to go in there and posterize somebody the way Shumpert did. You're going to get knocked down. So there are ways to touch him up, as you say, and ways to, you know, to knock somebody down or quote-unquote take him out, that kind of thing, to send that message if you really are devoted to it.
Well, and you, but, I mean, you can't just sit somebody in the middle of the key because then you're going to get text for a defensive 3 seconds.
So well, you know what I mean, but I mean a guy near the basket so that if somebody is driving, they're going to get hit.
Absolutely, but the ball movement last night, the movement without the ball last night, Cavaliers just efficient. And it was contagious. It was crazy. It was fun to watch.
For anybody complaining about what
Charles Barkley is saying, they obviously, you know, they're not very, maybe they didn't play sports when they were younger and understand the mentality of it, because that's where it comes, I think that's where it comes down.
I think you're right, and I think there's a lot of them all across the country. I think we are so overly sensitive, and I don't want to go too far off topic there,
but
I think
we're
so overly soft in this country anymore that if somebody suggests, oh my gosh, that you get physical with somebody, it's, man, you know, there's got to be some repercussions here. There's got to be some sort of a punishment or a suspension or somebody gets to get sued because we're just not allowed to think that way anymore.
We're just all carrying rolls of Charmin. We're ultra soft. Hey,
that's
thanks,
exactly
Bob.
Right. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Good call, Tony. It is. I mean, this. Hey, look, I've talked about this before. I usually talk about it when I do news radio and political radio, but I'll bring it here because it crosses over. Normally, I don't bring sports into my political shows, and I don't bring political or politics into my sports shows, but I will tell you this. We as a society have become so ungodly soft. We as a society are wrapping our little college student kids on the campus at UT, on the campus at BG, at Michigan, Ohio State, and anywhere else. We're trying to wrap them in bubble wrap to the point where nothing can hurt them, and they don't face any challenges, and they don't face any dangers, and they don't face any offensiveness. That's the other thing. We're going to try to provide safe spaces in all of these campuses so nobody has their feelings hurt. And it is just a disaster. And we always want somebody held accountable for being offensive. And that's what they're saying about Charles Barkley. He said something I was offended by. He suggested that somebody should get hurt. No, you heard that he wants somebody to get hurt. He didn't say he wanted somebody to get hurt. In fact, when Shaq said, you can't say you want to hurt somebody, he said, I'm not saying hurt somebody. I'm saying take him out in the context of knocking somebody down. But people hear what they want to hear. And in 2016 USA, brother, what they want to hear is that somebody offended me and they better pay a price. That's what we've built in this country right now, and it's permeating our sports world too. Athletes can't even say things that are on their mind without, hey, that's offensive. Kurt Schilling gets fired for crying out loud for expressing an opinion on a social matter. Somebody's feelings got hurt, therefore that guy gets fired. That person who hurt somebody's feelings gets fired. First Amendment, what's that? Free speech, free expression, never heard of them. All I know is my little baby got her feelings hurt or his feelings hurt, and that means somebody poked a hole in the bubble wrap I'm surrounding them in, and the delicate little flower might actually have to experience a little rain once in a while. We're soft, we're weak, we're scared, and it's evident more and more and more even in our sports. Charles Barkley wasn't trying to say somebody should get injured. He was saying somebody should play physical basketball, the kind the Detroit Bad Boys played. When Laimbeer and Mahorn and the crew were doing their thing to Jordan and guys like Barkley, the kind of physical hard... You know who called him out, Kush? You know who called Barkley out last night on Twitter, right?
No,
Cleveland, Ohio native and former New York Knicks enforcer, Charles Oakley.
Okay, that's where that came from. All right.
Oak Tree called him out and said, hey, Charles Barkley, stop hating on Cleveland, because that's his town. You know, he's from Cleveland, is Oakley. He said, you were never tough, and you're hiding behind a microphone at TNT now. So he called him out for it. But you know what? All Charles was doing, Charles Barkley was saying, be like Charles Oakley was. Be like, to a lesser extent, Charles Barkley was. Somebody's embarrassing you like that? They're running around free and easy? And you can't catch up to them? Then knock them down. Let them know it's not free, and it's not easy, and it won't be next game either. Play the game the way the Oak Tree played it, the way the Bad Boys played it, the way the old Wizards used to play it. the way that, you know, the game used to be just in general. You can't let guys do this. That doesn't mean he's calling for an injury, and it doesn't mean you've been offended, and it doesn't mean this guy should be fired or suspended or reprimanded in any way. Toughen up, man up, stop whining, stop crying. This is America, Jack. This is not some little daycare center where everybody has to be protected. You got to stand up on your own. All right, let me get a timeout. It's 4:34. In fact, let me do something cool for you after that monologue and after that soapbox that I just climbed down off of. From the soapbox to the box office. How about this? Coming up tomorrow, tickets go on sale for Jay Leno at the Stranahan Theater on October 28th. So it's not for a little while now. It's in October. But the tickets do go on sale tomorrow. I'll let you beat that box office by giving you a free pair of them right now. You want to see Leno at Stranahan? Call 866-240-1065. Caller 10. Caller 10. Those are yours right here at ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
Ganza right now by calling 866-240-1065. Now back to the Bob France extravaganza on 106.5 The Ticket.
Hawks got to take somebody out, Ernie. Let me tell you something.
When you say take them out, what do you mean?
I mean,
touch them up or take them out?
Take them out.
And that's what got the entire thing started. It's been a bit of a forest fire on social media. Kush, you haven't really spoken to this too much. Am I right, or are those who are saying you can't say that on TV, you can't call for the injuring of another player the way they say that Charles Barkley was doing, are they right?
No, I'm with you. And for context, from my perspective, I was watching this live when it happened yesterday. I hadn't changed the channel or anything.
And I hadn't either. I saw it live, too. And you know what? As soon as he said it, I have to admit, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but just real quick, my ears pricked up. Like, wait, what? And then they had a little back and forth, and I instantly said to myself, I know what he means. He doesn't mean injure somebody.
He means
throw some chin music at somebody.
Yep, he meant throw the basketball equivalent of chin music. That's nice. I like that one. But, yeah, when I first heard him say that, I'm watching this live right after the game, two things across my mind. A, I know what he's talking about. He means just, you know, make somebody feel it. You know, that kind of thing that we've been talking about. And secondly, that I knew that this was going to come up all day everywhere today as a result of that. Yeah, I'm with Charles. As I was hearing the whole thing live, and even when they came back from the break and he's trying to say, look, I'm not trying to imply that I meant hurt somebody. And I know some people out there heard it that way. That's not what he said, but that's basically what he was trying to say. But, yeah, he means you got to make them pay. You can't just let them sit out there, you know, and do that. That's why I've been liking this afternoon the comparisons to chin music in baseball. That's what Charles Barkley was talking about. And I'm a Cavs fan. I'm totally with them. Somebody from the Hawks should have Kendrick Perkins somebody, basically. And that never happened.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, again, why the Cavaliers were so successful in swinging it and making that extra pass. You know, the one caller called and said, you know, it's hard to touch somebody up when you can't catch them. Well, you know, Cavaliers are not the fastest team ever, you know, ever on the court. I mean, that's something the Warriors, it's hard to catch those guys. Because, you know, you got Curry and Thompson and Iguodala. There's Draymond Green. They're just a bunch of really, really fast athletes. Kevin Love is always just in one place. He's spotted up in the corner. I mean, almost all the time when he's shooting long balls,
right.
It's almost always in the corner. JR is hard to track down. JR is the guy who will go, as I said, and this is the point I'm making, he'll go from one wing to the other and take the long route by going, because he's quick, by going. He was a tremendous high school football player. They were talking about this the other night on TNT, by the way. He's a fast dude. But he'll be in one wing, like on the left wing, and he'll go down and go all the way around under the baseline to lose his guy in traffic and pop up on the other wing, catch the ball in motion while still the momentum from his run carrying him away from the basket, turn way in midair, flick that thing up while being contested, and splash it.
Yeah, that's the
now,
thing.
That's a rare talent. They're not all
is.
Like that. They're not all doing that.
They're not all doing that. And then, of course, with JR, in addition to everything you just said, just to emphasize the point more, and then half of his threes are always from some ridiculous angle or him falling away or some just, you know, seemingly not proper technique. And then half the time when he's on streaks like this, they go in and you're like, and you have the same reaction Reggie Miller did during the broadcast. Like, are you kidding me? How do you stop that? I mean, is basically what he said after one of them. And but to swing this whole thing back, I'm okay with what Barkley said. I really am, because I knew what he meant right away. And most people, I think, that really have a sports mind knew what he meant right away. And even if he did, for some reason, mean hurt, you were just shrugging off as, oh, that's just Charles Barkley saying Charles Barkley stuff.
Right, exactly. He just tries to be controversial, blah, blah. No, but I don't think he was trying to be. I think he was, and I also don't think it was some sort of animus against Cleveland or the Cavaliers, the way Matt was talking about earlier on. I think this is just his style of basketball, that if somebody is doing that to me, I'm taking somebody down. Nobody is just going to stand out here and just rain threes on me, and so much so that they're having fun chasing a record at my expense, not thinking for one second about what this is like on our end, not trying to just play team basketball with their third unit in the game in the fourth quarter, moving the ball around, getting it down inside,
sure,
you know, making twos. They're trying to embarrass, well, they're not really trying to embarrass me. They're trying to chase a record. But in the process, it's embarrassing me. And I am not going to let that happen. And I think Chuck would have said this, if this was a Kings versus Grizzlies game, if one was doing it to the other, he would tell the defensive team, you better start putting bodies on people and putting bodies on the floor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's about the only thing I disagreed with when we had – yeah, it's about the only thing I disagreed when we had Matt Lodi on last hour about. Yeah. I don't think – even if there is animosity from Charles Barkley, I don't think the Cleveland animosity had anything to do with that.
No.
I really believe what you just said. If it was any other matchup, insert team here, and the same thing happened, he'd have the same kind of reaction post-game because – and this is why, by the way, because we're for understandable reasons talking about this today, but in response to something else you've been pointing out today, Bob.
What's that?
Because the Hawks didn't do what Barkley suggested they probably should have done, because he's right, it's more of a message for Game 3. Well, at halftime, even the Hawks deep down knew that game was over. You have to do things to make positive, you know, for yourself going into Game 3 in your own building. And this is why I disagree with your assessment. I'm with those who are now thinking that this is a sweep. There's no way Atlanta's going to win a game, even if the Cavs shoot as bad as because you're right. It's the same baseball equivalent again. It's when you see your team score 13 runs. What's your response? Save some for tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Same basic principle is in play here, and I get that, but the Hawks don't have any answers. You know,
no, they don't.
You know, that's part of the reason they were so open at times is because they were purposely trying to clog the lane, and that didn't work either, because I can think of a few plays where LeBron and or Kyrie still drove to the hole in this game, in a game that's, you know, taken back because of all the threes.
Right.
There's nothing the Hawks seem to do.
No,
or have personnel-wise
I get your point.
That fixed this. That even a bad Cavs shooting
the one
night,
reason,
I still see a win, even if it's close.
That's the one reason why I wouldn't bet the house, and I don't bet for this reason.
Right,
but it's
too.
One of the reasons I wouldn't bet when I say the Cavs are going to lose Game 3. It's just that my point of comparison was what? Was Game 1 when the Spurs beat the Thunder by 43, and could have been worse. They shot 18 of 22 in the first quarter. I mean, that's what? What is that? Didn't you give me the percent the other day? Isn't that like 85%
or
something?
Yeah, I'm going to enter it in the little calculator again, but 85 sounds very close to right.
I mean, it's just something ridiculous.
No, 82.
82. Yeah, nobody stays that hot for an entire game and then comes out and plays that well the next game. And sure enough.
And you're right. I don't think the Cavs will either.
Well, but hold on. But there is a difference. And this is where, at this point where I'm questioning my own prediction, where I said the Cavs are going to come out and lose Game 3 after this incredibly hot Game 2, because the Spurs did it. But the Spurs did it and came out and were all offensively out of rhythm, discombobulated. The only guy who remained hot was LaMarcus Aldridge. Nobody else really did, not Kawhi, not Ginobili, no one. And they ended up, of course, in that dogfight. We know how that game ended with the controversy over the push-off, et cetera. But the point being, the Spurs were just victimized by quote unquote basketball.
Yeah.
As I tweeted last night when I said the Cavs are going to lose the next game, shoot very poorly as a team because of how incredibly hot they shot as a team tonight, because that's just how basketball is. The difference, what makes me question my own prediction there, is the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs were playing OKC. And it's a lot easier to see a team like OKC that has two of the five best players in the world, probably, depending on who you are and what you believe. Two of the best five players in the world on that team, they weren't going to let that 43-point blowout go unanswered,
right,
as they didn't. The Cavs are playing Atlanta, and they don't have Durant, and they don't have Westbrook, and they don't have one of the elite opponents.
What
really
they do have, though, Bob, and this is the other X factor, which is why even if the Cavs shoot 34%, like in your prediction, I still think the Cavs would win. There is one other thing the Hawks have. They have it in their heads. And that's why I asked that of Brandon Leak when we had him on last hour, too.
Yeah.
Because, and that's another difference between your Oklahoma City and San Antonio comparison, where on the surface, I can totally understand that. But these are the extra X factors. And one of them is the Atlanta Hawks have been buried in a number of different ways. I mean, you know, another unheralded thing from last night, Tristan Thompson was still destroying those guys down low when he was in. I think he had, what, 8 rebounds and half of them were offensive.
Yeah.
They can't do anything to contain him.
In about 13 or 14 minutes. Of court time, by the way.
I'm convinced that whatever's going on between these two teams, and we've talked about, you know, people getting in people's heads, Stanley Johnson, LeBron, the Miami thing. The Cavs are completely in the Hawks'
head.
Well,
there's no doubt of that. It's just, you know, beating them 9 straight times would indicate.
Yep.
They've beaten them 9 straight kind of regular season
and that's
playoffs,
why,
so.
You know, even if the Cavs do have a horrid shooting night and say JR is 2 for 12 because, you know, hot and cold streaks, they happen. That's why I still think the Cavs are going to win. It'll be a close
that's just
game.
That's just the function of the opponent. But,
sure,
but all things being equal, if the opponent is even marginally competitive, when you have a game like this, almost always you're going to come back in the next game and it's going to look like something completely opposite.
Well, for the Hawks, they better.
Let me go to Alan in Toledo, who's sitting there patiently waiting to give his thoughts on the Barkley comment and what it means, if anything. Alan, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Listen, guys. You know, I understand. I hit Charles Barkley and I saw the game last night. But something I want to make a point here may be missing.
What's that?
Listen. The Cavs may just very well meet the Warriors. You forgot about the Warriors, okay? Steph Curry and them guys, the Splash Brothers.
No, who forgot about them? We're not forgetting about them.
No, listen. I think what's going on is Cavs, it'll serve them well to be able to shoot those three-point shots. Because since that's all the Cavs, I mean, the Warriors, they do that a lot. So if the Cavs can shoot three-point shots the way they did last night, and I think it was a rehearsal for the Warriors, then that's the point I want to make. Keep shooting threes because you're going to need to shoot them if Steph Curry come back along with Klay Thompson. So that's my
point. It's a really interesting opinion, Alan, and you might be right, but I don't think you are. And the only reason I don't think that is because what the Cavs did last night is a one-night thing. The Warriors have been perfecting that style of three-point offense for a year, well, now 2 full seasons, including last year's championship season and run through the playoffs, and then their 73-win season this year. They have been perfecting that style for 2 seasons. That is not something the Cavaliers have done, worked on a lot, or tried to make their game. And I think if they go out there and try to remake their game to make it just like the Warriors, somebody who have perfected it, I think they'd be really, really, it'd be really, really tough to do.
I understand. Well, I'm going to go when I say this. They may have, the Warriors may have different plays they run or whatever, but if the Cavs can shoot some of those, I mean, they may not make 24, 25 or whatever, but if they make a number of threes that'll keep them in the game, because the Warriors can get out ahead of you so fast shooting those threes.
Yep.
So I would hope that last night, although Cleveland has not done that, I would hope that last night was a start of something they tried. Well, look, let's see if we can jack up some threes, because we're going to need them if we meet the Warriors. I'll hang up and let you guys go.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate your call. And you know what? You make a very good point. What you're talking about is a little bit like what back in the 1980s, if you remember Loyola Marymount, what they used to be like. Loyola Marymount used to run the floor, and the goal under Coach Paul Westhead was to jack as many threes as possible. And that's the kind of guy he recruited, was three-point shooters. Under the philosophy of just the fact that threes count more than twos. And that means that even if I shoot a lower percentage, and I once read an article about this as they were the highest scoring team in college basketball. I mean, just to give you an idea, they were beating teams, you know, 135 to 75, that kind of thing. Because his philosophy was, I can shoot a significantly lower percentage with my guys from three, then you will shoot from two. but I will shoot so many of them, even when I make a small percentage, the points count for one more than every time you get two. And if I can get a three every time you get a two, or every two times you get a two, or whatever the breakdown was, and they did a percentage thing, I'm going to beat you. And they racked up points like they were free, man. It was unbelievable what Loyola Marymount used to do. The philosophy was the three versus the two. Now, I'm not saying that Steve Kerr is coaching that exact same way, but it kind of adds up to that. When you play the Warriors and they start, you know, draining threes the way Steph can, where he just gets unconscious, or Clay gets unconscious, or the other guys that I mentioned get unconscious, and they just go start rolling, that even if you're playing good, consistent offense, and you're down there as a team shooting, you know, 54% from the floor, but the vast majority of them are, like most teams, twos, you've been blown out. You have to be able to answer the three from a team like the Warriors with a three, whether you're a team like the Cavaliers or the Spurs or the Thunder, as they're going to find out in the Western Conference Finals. You have to be able to answer with threes from time to time. But all I meant when I say no, when I said no, they can't do that, Jim, when they face the Warriors, is they can't just turn it into, we will match you.
Right.
We'll play your style of long ball, three for three. You shoot them, we're shooting them. May the best shooters win, because guess what? As hot as the Cavs were last night, the Warriors are the best shooters.
Yeah.
The Warriors have had two games, I think, this year where they've made over 20 threes. Two times. That's that's not even counting Steph himself, individual games where he's got 12 or 13 and setting new records.
Sure.
They are just, like I said, they've perfected for 2 years now that style of game. The Cavs would just be trying to develop and grow into something that they are already perfect at. And so for that reason, you can't plan on that style of a final.
Right, and I don't think they're planning on it so much as they've been tinkering. We've talked about this in the past, Bob. The Cavs have been tinkering a little bit with the quote-unquote smaller lineups, you know, the ones with Love maybe at the five. And part of that is for a possible future matchup with Golden State. By the same token, and this is why I asked Brandon Leka from Atlanta last hour about this, part of, I think, Atlanta's game plan, which is blown up in their faces clearly after two games, is, you know, we're not going to let the LeBrons and the Kyries have fun at the rim all day. We're going to dare you to shoot. We see that LeBron's only shot 20% for the year the heck it is. They've been daring the Cavs to be out there.
Well, they've been daring LeBron to do that.
Cut off the lane, and since they're making the threes, I'm also noticing little holes in trying to contain lane. Because, again, even yesterday, you mentioned the Shumpert posterizing late in the game. I can still think of at least two or three plays each that Kyrie and LeBron still got to the hole and did their thing.
Yeah, but to point of clarity, though, they've been doing that to LeBron, same way the Pistons did.
Yep.
They dared LeBron to shoot rather than let them drive.
Sure.
They're not going to stand there and let Kyrie shoot. They're not going to stand there and play 10 feet off of J.R. Smith either. They do have some guys that are just going to do that. But, you know, of course, last night it didn't matter. LeBron was 4 for 6. And as we pointed out, I ran down that list before. Everybody was shooting a great percentage from three last night for the Cavaliers. All right, really, really a fun game last night and a fun show to talk about today. In fact, how fun was that, Jim? We did the entire show and didn't mention the fact that the Indians pounded the Tigers again last night. 5-hit shutout for Corey Kluber, going for their second series sweep.
Hey, he got run support finally.
He got four of those early, too, and he made him stand up with that shutout. But they go for a sweep tonight, Trevor Bauer, and who is – oh, they called up Fulmer,
Michael,
right?
Michael Fulmer, the Rook, yeah, because Shane Green's on the DL.
So we'll talk more about that tomorrow. We'll preview game three, of that series tomorrow as well on the Extravaganza. Hey, before you go, remember that Jay Leno concert I told you about at Stranahan? Well, Jason Nickel won the free tickets. It's going to be in October. I got another pair. I'm going to give another one away right now. Before we're done here, you hit up 866-240-1065. 10th caller gets a pair of tickets to Jay Leno at Stranahan October 28th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, but you can beat the box office right now. You know what you can't beat? Mike Miller in Drive Time. That's next right here on The Ticket. We'll see you.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.